Hello, my name is Alex DeBoer. Hey there, my name is Alex DeBoer. Hello, my name is Alex DeBoer. Today is Monday, April 6th, and this is your Vancouver COVID-19 update. During this public health crisis, Councillor Jean Swanson has, as always, been advocating for people living in poverty. On April 4th, Jean wrote an opinion piece for the Georgia Strait, expressing her concern that homeless and precariously housed people aren't getting housing fast enough. And today, April 6th, she was quoted in a CBC article looking at the ways increasingly cashless transactions are impacting people who don't have bank accounts or credit cards. Today I had the chance to speak with Jean about these concerns and more.
Hello?
Hello?
Take a listen.
Oh, hey, Jean. Thanks for taking the time to talk to me. How are you today?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm pretty good, thanks. Have you been quite busy with your work on City Council, or have things kind of slowed down a bit because you guys can't meet in person?
They've slowed down a little bit, but it's still. I'm doing lots of conference calls and responding to lots of correspondence and trying to figure out how to get more housing.
Yep.
Homeless people. So.
Yes. Yeah, and on that topic, I was just kind of thinking about all this before I called you, and it's interesting because you're a city councilor, but you're obviously also a longtime anti-poverty advocate, and you've been working in Vancouver for decades, you know, trying to secure housing for people and just generally create more equality. And I feel like, you know, you're always someone who has been in the news, but lately you're in the news even more often, you know, commenting on the increased precarity and dangers people who live in poverty face. And so I'm wondering what it's like for you to see the problems of inequality generally that you've been pointing out for decades kind of get more attention and be treated with more urgency these days. Is it kind of bittersweet, or how do you feel about it?
I guess I just got my fingers and my toes crossed that everyone else will see it too, and we can make some major changes coming out of this. I'm thinking that so much of the work that's being done now is being done by people who are inadequately paid, have no benefits, no sick time, you know, people that work in the food industry, farm workers, even people in the grocery stores are exposing themselves to major possibilities of getting sick, and yet they're in there, you know, they should all be getting danger pay. And then for people that are even more precarious, like people who are homeless, I mean, the situation is completely untenable, and it really shows why we need housing for everybody all the time. And the way the government is spending money shows that it could be done.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
So if we can fight for it and channel everything in the right direction, we could come out of this with a better society. That would be my hope. But, I mean, we could also come out with a more, with a society where people's freedoms were curtailed and the rich used their money to acquire even more land and property and excluded even more people. So it depends on what we do, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah, a lot of hope and a lot of fear. You write in the Georgia Strait, you wrote an article that was published 2 days ago. And so in it, you talk about housing and you discuss your increased concern for people living in SROs and people sleeping in shelters and people who are homeless during this public health crisis. And, you know, in those situations, it's obviously harder for people to socially distance and sometimes to have access to clean hand washing facilities and things like that. And also a lot of folks who are homeless or living in SROs or shelters have medical conditions and compromised immune systems, and that puts them at greater risk of not surviving if they get COVID-19. And so in response, the city has procured two community centers for people to sleep in, as well as, they say, 400 hotel rooms for vulnerable people. And you write in your article in the Georgia Strait about a few concerns you have with that response. Could you tell me what those concerns are?
So we have about over 2,000 counted homeless people. And because of the restrictions, a lot of single room occupancy hotel operatives have put on visitors because of COVID. We're finding that we actually have more homeless people because visitors aren't allowed in the SROs. They're all out on the street now. Those people probably weren't counted before. Anyway, so there's way over 2,000 homeless people in the city. And so we've opened up, I don't know, maybe 130 spaces in community centers. And I'm hearing that there are hundreds of hotel rooms. I don't know how many hundreds, if it's 200 or 900. But in any event, it's not enough because we have thousands of people who are homeless. And we have, I don't know, 5,000, 6,000 in the SROs. And the SROs, people share bathrooms and they don't have kitchens. And I have never seen soap in a privately owned SRO bathroom that wasn't gentrified. Never. And that's, you know. So, and soap is supposed to be the main thing that dissuades this virus from attacking you. So, you know, I think the logical thing to do would be to take all empty hotel rooms, offer them to homeless people, and people in SROs and people in shelters, and put them in there with, you know, they'd have a nice, probably a queen-size bed, a TV, Wi-Fi, deliver some food, and make it possible for them to, and, you know, if they're using drugs, we now have the safe supply protocol, so it would be possible for people to self-isolate and stay safe. And I think that people who are homeless in shelters or in SROs should have the same right to self-isolate as everybody else who has a home does.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I mean, a big mystery to me is when these hotel rooms will become available. The mayor said he's working with BC Housing and Vancouver Coastal Health to find and secure these rooms. But do you know anything about when they'll be available for people?
No.
Yeah. And then also,
it's not fast enough. That's what I know. It should have been yesterday, right? It should have been weeks ago.
Yeah. Yeah. And of course, a concern is how people will be selected to get to stay in these rooms. If there will be means testing?
My fear is that the rooms will only be for people who are sick. Mm-hmm. And that people who aren't sick yet, who are vulnerable, and there's, you know, hundreds of them in the downtown east side. I mean, homeless people have half the life expectancy as other people, so that means they've got big health issues. So my fear is that people who are vulnerable won't be able to shelter like everybody else does.
Yeah. I'm not sure if you have talked to anyone working at an SRO or living in an SRO, but the city has made efforts to provide soap and clean the SROs. Have you heard of improved conditions in those housing spaces?
Well, first of all, I know the city is working hard to do some good things. Like the city worked hard for the safe supply, which we got, which if we can continue that past COVID, it will be huge. And this is the first time in, I think, North America that anything like this has been done, where people can get drugs by prescription just because they need them to keep from being dope sick. So that's huge. Yeah. And the city is working and trying to get meals in the SROs. And that's good. And I've heard that the people who got the meals, I think there's 1,100 so far, are really happy with them. And I heard that they got skewers of pork one day. Yeah, so, you know, that's good. And the city has been working really hard on that. the city is going to be, you know, the city's had to close down a lot of facilities, so it's not getting any revenue from them. So the city is going to not have money to do this, and the city isn't legally able to run a debt deficit for operating expenses. So other levels of government have to show up with the money for these things. And that's where, so I think we need to put the pressure on the province and the feds and on coastal health.
And what about social distancing in the downtown east side? Have you heard anything about efforts to increase that being successful? Like, have any streets closed down so that people can kind of space themselves out?
I don't know of any streets that have been closed down. I've been pushing for it. There, Hastings would be the logical one to close down, but there's also a bunch of overdose prevention sites along Hastings, so you do need access for emergency vehicles. But maybe it could just close down three lanes of it or something. So, but so far that hasn't happened, and I think if people want it, we just have to keep pushing for it. I can push on the inside and other people can push on the outside.
Also today, the CBC published an article which was reported by Liam Britton, and it quotes you, and in the article you point out how some stores have stopped accepting cash because of fears that the transaction could spread COVID-19. Can you tell me what your concerns are with this precaution that some stores are taking?
Well, I've been getting emails from low-income people who don't have credit cards that this is causing problems for them, particularly when you have to stand in line amongst a bunch of people, and then they go in the store and make their purchase, and they're not able to make it because they don't have the plastic. And I can relate to that. I never got a credit card till I was 67. So it's hard to get credit if you're a low-income person. And so I totally sympathize with the folks in the stores. I mean, they should be getting danger pay, and they should, their employer should be providing them with gloves and making it possible for them to wash their hands a lot. But I think that under these circumstances, it's pretty important to accept money, especially from people that don't have other ways of paying, because low-income people need stuff, food, and in this case, pet supplies, just like other people do.
Yeah, I guess just another situation where existing inequality is just more evident during this public health emergency. And then I lastly wanted to ask you about one other thing, which is that it was announced that people collecting income assistance or disability assistance, which obviously includes a lot of people in Vancouver's downtown east side, these people will get $300 more a month for the next 3 months as an emergency supplement. I'm just wondering your thoughts on whether it would be better for the province to instead raise income assistance or disability assistance just generally, because that rate hasn't changed, I believe, in a decade.
Oh, my God. Of course it should go up. It should be, you know, people on welfare and disability should be getting the $2,000 that workers are getting. And I would say people on disability should get more because they have more expenses. But this is another thing, you know. I mean, we've got safe supply. We have free buses. We have $2,000 a month for contract workers. We have welfare rate of $300. If we can keep these things going into the non-COVID future, that will be a little bit of gain, right?
Yeah,
$300 a month is not nearly enough for people on welfare. People on welfare get $760 a month for a single person. So that's not enough to pay rent and eat. And, you know, raising it to $1,060, it still basically isn't enough to pay rent and eat unless you're in social housing. So it's better than nothing, but it should have been more and it should be permanent.
Yeah. I guess that's all part of these supplemental funding opportunities, is keeping them in separate streams than existing income supplements, so that, you know, they can also end They are meant as emergency measures. But yeah, I also am very hopeful and fearful and interested to see whether we can keep some of these gains we've made after this public emergency ends.
Yeah, that's going to be a key question. Yeah. We have to gear up to fight for it.
Yeah. Well, thank you for speaking with me, Counselor Swanson. I never know if I should call you Jean or Counselor Swanson.
No, call me Jean. You know, I don't like titles. Put people in different categories of different echelons, and I don't think it's proper to use titles. So, I mean, no offense. Call me Jean, though.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you for clarifying that. Did you want to add anything before I let you go?
No, that's good. Thanks for doing this, Alex. It's really great to have people concerned about these issues and trying to get the message out there.
No worries. Thanks, as always, for your hard work and for making time to speak with me.
Okay, dear.
Okay.
You take care.
Yes, take care. Bye-bye. Thank you for listening. This piece was created by me, Alex DeBoer. Thank you to Liam Britton for his reporting in CBC, and to Jean Swanson for her time. The songs you heard are Trail Running and Angel Tooth by Blue Dot Sessions. Take care.